on this episode of The Kinked Wire.
At the very beginning of the pandemic, there was a big outpouring of kind of support through social media outlets, other, you know, avenues online between training programs throughout the country. And so there's kind of almost a national level collaboration for continuing access to training in a way. So it'll be good to see how we continue to use it through the coming year.
Welcome to The Kinked Wire, the interventional radiology podcast from SIR's IR Quarterly magazine. You can learn more at our website, sirweb.org/kinkedwire. In this episode, Kinked Wire host Warren Krakoff reflects on the year's top stories in IR with the Kinked Wire team, editor Jamin Shaw, manager Jason Fisher, and me, SIR's director of publications, Brian Hayes.
Here we are at really some year, 2020. I think we've had a really interesting year in terms of the podcast. And before we go through all that, I'd like to introduce the folks who really make this possible. Starting off with Jason Fisher, who brings a great perspective to us as a person still in training in a hybrid between an IR residency and an IR DR residency.
Thanks, Warren. Excited to be on for this episode.
And then we've got Jamin Shaw, who's really brings another great perspective to us out of training for some time and practices in a different kind of hybrid, sort of a hybrid academic private practice environment, but, you know, practices as well in a large hospital setting. So he was just saying he's going to be going in for traumas and stuff later today, unfortunately. So he brings that perspective. So Jamin, good to have you here.
Thanks, Warren.
And of course, we have Brian Hayes behind the scenes at SIR. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Warren. It's been great working with this team in the past year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It has been a great team. What do folks think about this crazy year that we're finally finishing? Obviously, lots of big stories. You know, COVID, obviously, in the healthcare arena gets the headlines for good reason.
You know, Warren, I think word crazy sums it up pretty well. It's been a very interesting year. I think we've all been tested to different limits, and this is something we're never going to forget. Thankfully, there's a lot of progress happening, and, you know, people, I think we were just talking about getting vaccinations and things like that. So, you know, there is a nice kind of light and hopefully an end to all of the COVID craziness. But I think it's made us also cherish the things that are important to us. I've never had so much time with my family. It's been great. I've got young kids, so it's nice to kind of spend a little bit more time with them. It's been nice to do some of the hobbies and things that I haven't been able to do for a long time. But it's definitely been a challenge being at work every day, kind of seeing patients that are suffering. And, you know, at certain points during this year, we didn't really have good answers of how to help them. So from that perspective, it's been really tough.
I think tested is the right word. It's been crazy all around, seeing the changes that are happening inside and outside the hospital, but kind of with every new development was a new question we had to kind of answer clinically in terms of trying to help people get better. And then, on the in-training side, every day was trying to solve, how do we meet the same requirements we need to meet? How do we, you know, keep people in the hospital and safe? We don't have the same luxury of radiology in a certain way in terms of being able to work from home. So a lot of our faculty and the people who are teaching us things had to move to remote stations. And how do you continue to manage the trainees who are then in the hospital in that setting? And so every day was kind of a new hurdle to overcome. But everyone always kind of had a new idea to brainstorm. The reliance on technology for kind of continuing training remotely and things like that has been phenomenal. We moved all our conferences even to virtual platforms. So There's no reason to gather. And it's kind of been like that throughout the year. It's become normal in a way, but a lot of the disturbances really were kind of met with pretty rapid answers, which I was impressed with both in our program and for trainees I've spoke with throughout the country.
You know, I trained in a different era, so it's hard for me to get my head around that. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see if things like you're talking about become baked in the cake in terms of training and so on.
You know, the remote learning really does have kind of tremendous opportunities. At the very beginning of the pandemic, there was a big outpouring of kind of support through social media outlets, other, you know, avenues online between training programs throughout the country. I'd give a particular shout out, just I remember way back in March and April, I was watching all of the IR grand rounds from USC. They had all their things online. And so there's kind of almost a national level collaboration for continuing access to training in a way. So it'll be good to see how we continue to use it through the coming year.
That is really kind of cool when you think about it, that going forward, you could have access to all of the great voices in our specialty from across the country as a trainee, you know, almost at any time, almost on demand. Brian, how about from your perspective, you come at this from a slightly different angle.
I never would have expected to come out of the year the phrase Zoom fatigue, but that's certainly a major part of our experience these days. It's fantastic that IRs and trainees are able to access education online, and the timing turned out to be so ideal, really, for the launch of SIR's Residency Essentials program. It fits in, from an outsider's perspective anyway, so well with interventional radiology, that refusing to settle for the status quo, always looking to improve, looking for technology-based solutions. I mean, that's kind of where we are right now. And when you're talking about education and, you know, on the national level and so forth, and really even on the global level, I feel like we can't talk about that without talking about the virtual annual meeting in 2020 and now the deliberate plans for virtual SIR 2021.
Yeah, no, and we had a chance to talk to Tino about that earlier. You know, I'm sure everybody did, you know, in March and April, I had a bunch of conferences set up that, you know, at the 11th hour, you know, were just canceled. And that was it. There was no virtual anything. That was it. But I am so impressed with what Tino and the team and everybody at SIR pulled off for the virtual conference.
I mean, I thought it was very impressive. The resilience, you know, the dedication from the SIR team and staff and everybody involved to say, you know, we're not going to be derailed by this. Granted, it'll be different and everyone will adapt. And that's what our specialty is great at. You know, we do that in the angio suite. Why shouldn't we do it in other places? And I think that we've now set the standard for all future meetings where I think there will be a virtual component moving forward for people that can't attend.
You make a great point that this all broke, you know, just before the conference in what was supposed to be, you know, one of the hotbeds. So really, really well done. Something else that I was very intrigued with that Jamin said earlier, that, you know, you spent more time with your family, you've got young kids at home. Burnout and physician wellness is a huge issue. It was before COVID. It's undoubtedly a much larger issue now. I'd like to get your thoughts a little bit more, and everyone else's too, on this issue of how shifting how we're working may actually be improving in some ways, at least in some specialties, this issue of burnout and wellness.
As Jason was talking about as well, and we all have a little bit, you know, COVID has tested us in ways that I don't think anybody in any specialty all across healthcare ever thought that they were going to be tested. You know, some specialties have had a very different experience. Like you said, you know, we're still going through this. So from that perspective, I think that just knowing what the long-term consequences of this time are going to be for everybody involved is going to be something we still need to figure out. You know, we're still working really hard and it stresses us in different ways. Sometimes we don't recognize the way that we are being stressed, and it takes a little bit of time to figure that out and how we want to recover from it. So I think wellness and burnout were such big topics even before COVID that we were lucky that we were able to address it, at least in our podcast and how it related to interventional radiology kind of early on. I think it's been nice to have this break here and there with spending more time with family. And these might be things that people look at as ways to help cope with it in the future and maybe adapt our schedules, maybe look for more flexibility in our schedules moving forward so that we can kind of help mitigate some of those stresses and alleviate them. There's a new burnout committee in SIR. Wellness and burnout. So it's definitely something that we're talking about. And I think the pandemic is something that has encouraged those committees and things to form to help physicians get through it.
You're right. The critical care folks and ER docs and pulmonary, you know, there's a huge number of people who are absolutely getting hammered and literally putting their lives on the line, and God bless them and thank them for all of their work. But I wonder too, though, if there are lessons that even they can take out of how other specialties, maybe such as ours, have shifted, as you mentioned, changing schedules, things like that. Obviously, time will tell. Along, though, with COVID, which, as I said, certainly from a healthcare perspective, dominated the headlines, I think that, you know, equally large on the world, or certainly our country's stage, loomed the recognition of disparities, certainly in healthcare, but nationwide.
In the world of medical training, healthcare, you know, gender and racial disparities kind of have always been prevalent in that, you know, maybe we're a little bit too complacent for too long on kind of being the baseline. And I know that there's plenty of initiatives in the world to go out and address that, but, you know, you very rarely kind of notice the effects. So I think that kind of some of the national attention that was given to the topic, it can only help in the world of medicine as well.
It definitely brought things to the forefront. It showed us that, you know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done and something that we still need to be aware of. And for people that weren't aware of it before, I think it just opened everybody's eyes to something that lots of people in our country are experiencing. And for those that aren't, then hopefully, you know, we're just all more aware of it and think about how we make decisions or how we even care for our patients, keeping those things in mind.
One of the things that came to light in the hospital is, you know, we have these committees and things on diversity and inclusion. And the inclusion part of it, I think, is a lot of people are turning their focus to that. And I think, you know, while we kind of addressed it in a separate podcast, the changes on the inclusion side of things, I think, clicked with a lot of people, and that maybe most people didn't consider that a part of the world of diversity, when really maybe it's the most important part and most impactful in kind of changing the relationships we have, like, between each other in the immediate sense.
Touched on a lot of that with PJ. We got a chance to talk with him, you know, earlier this year as well, among our great guests that we've had. I remember having a great talk with Barbara Hamilton, and actually a lot of the things specifically about gender inequities in this case, first of all, I do think there's crossover, because you look at it and you've got, just now speaking from a healthcare perspective, but obviously any of this could be applied to the rest of the world. You've got great people who aren't getting to do everything that they should be doing, either on the basis of their gender or their race. And that's a big problem. If we can be more inclusive as a specialty, as a society, as a country, we can probably do a lot better. Well, we've looked back, but how about going forward?
I think 2021 is going to be an interesting year. You know, we've got two vaccines that are out. You know, lots of healthcare workers posting pictures online and, you know, things of getting their shots. So I think that's very exciting. That shows, you know, faith in our science and research and development here in the U.S. And I think it's going to be an exciting year, because I think a lot of people will get vaccinated and will start winning this battle with COVID. I also think that, you know, this podcast has been off to a great start, and there's a lot more to come. And so I think we've got a great future ahead. We've got some great guests lined up and some topics that I think we've all been itching to hear about. So I'm really excited. I think we've got a lot of good things to come in the future. And this new virtual meeting for 2021 is set up to be awesome. I mean, I know tons of e-posters and notifications have gone out. I'm really looking forward to that. It's only a few months away. So I think it's going to be an exciting year. And I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
I'm also really excited to see how kind of this more recent wave of advocacy kind of continues through 2021. We have a new administration, and there's going to be a lot of turnover in politics this year. And there's kind of a huge outpouring of support in just the last couple of weeks in addressing, through no small part with SIR, but addressing the planned Medicare cuts for January. Mm-hmm. I was amazed to see the news this week that was mitigated to the extent that it was. I definitely thought it was kind of here to stay and ready to roll in the coming weeks. And I know that there's been a big focus on advocacy at that level, you know, for years. And a lot of people have done kind of tremendous work in bringing that to people's attention who otherwise wouldn't have a role in it. And now that it's kind of on my mind and has seen kind of the recent effects of it, I'm excited to see what that can carry through the next year. So optimistic for some of those type of changes.
I guess I would say my hope would be that healthcare is not as much in the news. And by that, I mean that, you know, essentially we're able to get coronavirus under control. And this is not a political show, so not taking any political sides, but to sort of take politics out of the science and healthcare and let us, the physicians and doctors and scientists and nurses and techs and everybody else, have a bigger stake. You know, I'm optimistic. I'm really hopeful that this vaccine is going to help put this current crisis behind us. But as we said, you know, racial disparities, gender inequities, there's no vaccine for that. So that's work that's going to continue. And I'd like that to continue. How about it, Brian? Are there a couple topics you can share with us for next year?
Absolutely. Launching and building an OBL, the role of IRs in stroke care, the underrepresented minority section, work-life balance, just a whole range of topics.
Sounds like great stuff. And I think that ties in well to the thanks and recognition that's due to a lot of people to allow this podcast to happen, really. the people who really make this all shine, and that's the guests that we've had.
That's right. We want to thank Herschel McGinnis and Alan Matsumoto.
You know, really, a guest host for our first episode, Herschel McGinnis, did a great job with Alan.
And then there was AJ Gunn, Laura Findice, Matt Hawkins, and Stephanie Dybel, Suresh Vedantham, and Mary Constantino.
And some of these people you'll hear again next year, by the way. Felicia Speed, you know, talking about burnout, Clint Gossage, Tori Andrews, I remember early on in COVID, it'll be interesting to hear what happens with that, Rod Shaw, George Behrens.
And then there was Tino Pena, Janice Newsom, Matt Johnson, Aki Sista, Raj Pine, Jean LaBerge, PJ Rashan.
We mentioned him earlier. PJ was fantastic as well. And, you know, hopefully going to be talking to him again in 2021 to, you know, get some more updates from him. Barbara Hamilton, we mentioned, and just recently Joseph Ring. So really a great group of people and a lot of folks at SIR itself. Brian, you work with a lot of these people on an everyday basis. Do you want to just go through some of them?
There's Jonas Nash and Christian Lopez, who work on the corporate support. Cheryl Sadowski and Elise Castelli, and they're both in our communication staff leadership, who are two avid podcast listeners, and they review each episode, and they've shared just tons of helpful feedback over the year. Hope Racine, who has gamely transcribed each episode, and then Lottie Lockhart, who has helped get the word out on each episode through social media.
That's great. Again, really a great year. We thank all the listeners. I'd like to, you know, give a shout out to Aaron Fritz, who I think has the definitive or original IR podcast. And I think he really sort of set the bar.
Really, the whole idea of the podcast came from a discussion he had with Aaron Shiloh. And here we are today.
Yeah. And that's IR, really. Oh, you're using that kind of wire. Huh. I'm going to try that, but I'm going to try it this way instead. I won't ask you what about the future of healthcare, but any last comments? I personally just want to thank everybody and especially you guys.
And, you know, it's been a great year. It definitely was a lot of work and we were able to pull it off. And in a crazy year on top of all of that.
Yeah. Just a final thank you to all our guests and everyone here and behind the scenes. Thank you for having me and be a part of it. Looking forward to 2021. I hope everyone enjoys the season.
And of course, we thank you, Warren. I mean, you're the voice of the podcast, your humor, your interest in the guests. That's really what's driven everything forward.
Wow. I don't know who you're describing, but I'll take it. Thank you.
That was the Kinked Wire team wrapping up 2020. We thank all our supporters over the past year. Varian, Certex, Medtronic, BD, and Boston Scientific. We hope you enjoyed this episode and thank you for listening to the Kinked Wire. If you have any thoughts or ideas for us, drop us a line at irq@sirweb.org.
This is Erica Holland, SIR's Interim Executive Director and Assistant Executive Director of Member Services and Programs. On behalf of the Society's leadership and staff, I wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. As you all know, 2020 presented a wide range of unique challenges, and I'm proud to reflect on how your Society rose to meet them. We continued working to meet the needs of our members, building awareness of IR through our Vision to Heal campaign, advancing IR workforce studies to better understand how and where IR is practiced, continuing to advocate for IR, working to fight Medicare cuts, and publishing our first true clinical practice guideline on IVC filters. Even in a difficult economic climate, our leadership has remained true to investing in IR through the Vertex Registry, which will not only help members continually improve quality of care, but will provide us with the data we need to tell the story of how IR treatments provide life-saving therapy. To that end, we continue to invest in research through the SIR Foundation Grants Program and a series of three successful research consensus panels. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we quickly shifted to virtual educational opportunities, including the virtual SIR 2020 annual meeting, Fellow Spring Practicum, Learn Live, the Stroke Series, and the new virtual Angio Clubs. We launched the long-anticipated Residency Essentials program, which has wildly exceeded all expectations and achieved the Society's promise to support IR trainees and program directors. And these are just a few highlights of an incredibly impactful year. We look forward with excitement to 2021. Registration for our second virtual annual meeting opens in January. We hope to see you there. We will continue to focus on diversity and inclusion initiatives, including the new underrepresented minorities section, our ongoing GEM scholarship program, and more. As we move into a new year, I look back on 2020 and can proudly say we are wiser and more resolved, more agile and more confident. We are more patient and member-driven than ever. And SIR and SIR Foundation will continue working to serve the needs of you, our IR community.